Please stay tuned, and at the end of the program, we'll let you know where to send your questions for Dave and Tom to respond to in a future Contending for the Faith. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now, our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures. And we continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation. Here again are Dave and Tom.
We're continuing with the Gospel. We're in the Gospel of John. And Dave, we often recommend for our listeners who may be new to the Bible, haven't read the Bible, or maybe even haven't started at all. But our encouragement would be to, if you haven't started reading the Bible, begin in the Gospel of John, because when it talks about who Jesus is, what he's done for us, he is God who became man to pay the full penalty for our sins. The gospel is right there, a penalty we can't pay. No one can pay. You can suffer the consequences of eternal separation from God, but you can't pay it off. It's an eternal punishment, but he did, and we have salvation through him, what he has done, his life and his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Dave, so we don't recommend they go along as fast as we're going. What have we been doing this? We're in chapter 16. This is 2 years later.
I don't know how many.
But years. Dave, it's a good go. You know, we are taking it verse by verse by verse, and
I would recommend they read it through a few times before they start trying to take it apart verse by verse. But we ask God for his guidance, and you can be reading along and suddenly something hits you. You get an insight you didn't have before. That's the wonder of the Bible.
Right.
Its depth is unfathomable. You can always learn more. This is God's Word.
Sure. 66 books in the Bible, and again, we recommend you begin with the Gospel of John, and from there go to Acts, perhaps, and get a little history of the New Testament, and certainly Genesis. You can't understand the Bible, in my view, without having an understanding of what the problem is, or, you know, what's God talking about here? Right. Where did we go wrong? And Genesis lays that out. But now we are in John chapter 16, and I'll pick up with verse 5. This is Jesus speaking. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart.
Yep, Jesus said, I'm going to go away. We got that in chapter 14. Prepare a place for you. I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. And instead of rejoicing over this promise that they had a home in heaven, the disciples were very troubled. This is what he's referring to. Well, Lord, you're going to go away. Why are you going away? Because they thought he came to sit on David's throne. They thought he came to set up the kingdom. We have people like that today. We call them kingdom now theology. And they say that we're preparing the world. The church is going to take over the world and establish the kingdom. And then Christ will return and reign over it. And they thought the kingdom was coming right now. And they were really nonplussed. They didn't understand it. Where are you going?
And Jesus told them numerous times about the death he would have to suffer, but it didn't register.
Because they couldn't understand it. They had a preconceived notion. So he says, you're not asking me where I'm going, but you're very troubled. Sorrow has filled your heart. See, they were expecting to sit on 12 thrones surrounding Jesus and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if the Lord's going to go away, what are they going to do? How could he even contemplate that? Well, they didn't realize he was to come first as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, that he would later come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and establish his kingdom. Now, he goes on, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So Jesus says it's expedient that I go away. In other words, if I don't go away, the Comforter isn't going to come. And I want to send the Comforter. Now, I can be with you in one location at a time. Jesus was physically present.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit will indwell the believers wherever they are, and he will never leave them nor forsake them, in contrast to the Old Testament saints upon whom the Spirit of God came and then often departed.
Mm-hmm. Dave, in verse 8 where he says, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, when he has come, it says, hasn't the Holy Spirit always been the convictor of souls? And is this referring to believers, through the lives of believers and their lives? Wouldn't that bring reproof, righteousness, and judgment?
I think it must include that, Tom, because the Holy Spirit was already present,
mm-hmm.
perfectly able to convict the world. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon and indwelt the Christians, a permanent indwelling that mm-hmm. had never existed before on this earth. And Jesus had said, you're the light of the world. And as I am, so are you in this world. So there is a, or should be, a convicting quality in the church. We're the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when Christ walked this earth, there was a conviction by his very presence, by the life he lived, by his words. And this is one of the reasons why the church must be taken out before the Antichrist can be revealed.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That seems to be related here, that the Holy Spirit certainly was convicting the world prior to his indwelling believers. And when the believers are taken out, he's mm-hmm. still going to be there to bring conviction mm-hmm. of those who will come to him, come to Jesus.
But apparently,
during tribulation.
But apparently, the Holy Spirit, in a permanent indwelling of believers, individually and corporately as the church, the body of Christ, it has a powerful, or should have, a powerful convicting effect upon this earth, upon the sinners around us. I remember, Tom, when I was in the business world in Beverly Hills, and I can remember some really tough Beverly Hills lawyers. And if a cuss word slipped out of their mouths in my presence, they apologized immediately. I didn't have to browbeat people. They knew that I was a Christian. They knew where I stood.
Mm-hmm.
They respected me for it. We had some businesses in Las Vegas when we went over there from time to time. They understood that I didn't engage or indulge in the things that they looked forward to, whether it was the gambling or the slot machines or whatever you call them, or the shows or whatever. And there, I think there was a conviction through my life
mm-hmm.
Upon these men. And they acknowledged that.
Yeah. Dave, also, when the church undergoes persecution or prosperity, when it undergoes prosperity, it becomes so much like the world can't tell the difference. And it's not that I'm rooting for persecution here, but the reality is, when you're standing for Christ under persecution, that's people respond to that. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's amazing thinking about the conversions that are going on now in the Sudan, where the church mm-hmm. there undergoing incredible persecution mm-hmm. and winning people to Christ through that.
Even Muslims.
Yes.
Coming to Christ. And it has happened in China.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says it's expedient that I go away, he's saying the same thing that he said in John 14, that if I go away, I will send the Comforter. He said that in John 14. And in John 7, verse 38 or thereabouts, the commentary, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It says, this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And it says, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So until Jesus had paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, had risen from the dead, and had been accepted, his payment accepted of the Father, and he was received up into glory at the Father's right hand as our intercessor and so forth, this Comforter, the one that he would send, the Holy Spirit in his name, could not come in this new way that the earth had never experienced before. So he would convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. The worst sin is unbelief, rejecting Christ, rejecting the gospel, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The holy, spotless Lamb of God that paid the penalty for our sins has been vindicated and accepted at the Father's right hand. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Satan has been judged on the cross. And this is the watershed event of all time and eternity.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, I love the term comforter. How many times? I think about my own life. I certainly wouldn't compare it to anybody in the Sudan, the believers in China, and in Malaysia, Indonesia being persecuted. But still, it's good to have a comforter, and he is a wonderful comforter. Amen.
Dave and Tom will resume their discussion on the topic of salvation next week. We hope you can tune in. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. If you are a serious student of God's Word, we offer many items that you will find helpful, from books and tracts to audio and videotapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and much more. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 4903. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station. Get a pen or pencil ready. We'll have our contact information in just a moment. Next week, we continue with our series of discussions based on Dave Hunt's book, A Cup of Trembling. And will there be another final solution? In Religion in the News, Pastors for Pets. We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, has God already determined everything about us, even our genetic makeup? We hope you can join us. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily radio ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org.